The Chachamim teach us, Chazal tell us, how at every juncture in Jewish history, when the Am Yisrael is saved from utter annihilation, how the nations want to obliterate Klal Yisrael, every time we're redeemed so miraculously by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the natural response of Am Yisrael is to sing Shira, to say Hallel. Whether it be being saved from Mitzrayim, Hallel the Seder, Hallel Yom Tov Rishon of Pesach, whether it be the Ananei HaKavod, Purim, if not for the Megillah, Chanukah, we recite Hallel every single day. There are 18 days on which we recite Hallel. And yet there's another set of days on which we recite Hallel, on Rosh Chodesh. But why? There is no Ge'ula that occurs on Rosh Chodesh. There is no event that took place from which we were redeemed, that we were almost annihilated, that we should recite Hallel on Rosh Chodesh. What's so special about Rosh Chodesh that suddenly there is this thing called Hallel that we recite so frequently, we don't even understand why? The Gemara tells us in Masechet Ta'anit that Rav was the first Chabad rabbi. Rav was sent by his Rabbi Rabbi Yehuda Nasi to Bavel, where there was no Torah learning, to go and increase the Torah learning in Shmirat Torah Mitzvot amongst the people. So Rav, as an emissary, walks into an existing shul, and he's standing in the back, and he sees that after Shmona Esrei on Rosh Chodesh, instead of going to Tal Chanun or whatever they naturally did next, they start singing Hallel. And Rav's like, excuse me? It's not in my Siddur. And he starts, well, I didn't have Siddur, whatever, it was by heart. He starts making his way towards the Amud, to the Chazan. Say, excuse me, what are you doing? He's going to tap him on the shoulder. By the way, the Gemara is teaching us a very important lesson. Rav didn't scream from the back, it's Rosh Chodesh! He didn't scream. Some people, when the Chazan makes a mistake, they scream at him. Rabbi was walking over to tap him on the shoulder to say, excuse me, what are you doing? Anyway, but then when Rav gets closer to him, he hears how they didn't continue from the first paragraph to the second. They skipped. It's like, oh, they're skipping. It's okay. What's going on? It's okay to skip Hallel? What was Rav thinking? The Gemara tells us that whoever recites Hallel every single day is kilo mecharef megadef. He's disparaging HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Every single day you're saying Hallel, it's cheapening. It's not appropriate to say Hallel every single day. So when Rav saw that they're not saying the whole Hallel, okay, fine. Come on, you want to see a few parakim of Tehillim? Beautiful idea, very nice. He let them do what they were doing. So the Gemara tells us that it was a minhag, it was a custom that the nation, the people, naturally developed on their own, organically, without the Chachamim telling them what to do. And it became a part of the Seder Tefillah, and until today, we recite Hallel on every Rosh Chodesh. We don't understand why yet, but we know where it came from. We know that it came from these people in Bavel who were uneducated people who needed to be reached out to by Rav, who for some reason were thinking it's appropriate to recite Hallel on Rosh Chodesh. And this machlok, this point, this story precipitates a grand machloket, a grand debate between the Rishonim. Once you're gonna fabricate this halacha that you should recite continuously for generations, Hallel. Do make up your own mitzvah or pattern it after a different one. Do you recite a beracha or not? It's a grand machloket and unresolved. Until today, there are factions fighting against each other wherever you go. Even in this room, we have different opinions.
But no fighting.
No fighting. Baruch Hashem. Hashem Yivarach Adamo Shalom. The beracha v'shalom is here, came first. Baruch Hashem. But, I mean, it's very unresolved. Maybe in certain places, there, the Moroccans and others are fighting about it, but here they're not. Baruch Hashem. So what's going on? We have a machloket. Can you recite the beracha with Hashem's name? Could be an Isser D'Oraita. Could be Loti Sa Shem Hashem Lashav. And say, Asher Kedishanu Mimitzvotav. That's true. Hashem was Mekadesh us with his mitzvot. V'sivanu Likro or Likmor Tahalel. He told us to do this? No, he never told us that. You're lying now. Not only are you saying Hashem's name for no reason, you're also saying something that's not true with Hashem's name. Oh, that's not good. Comes the Rambam and says, excuse me, Isser D'Oraita, you're being so frum to praise Hashem. You should keep the Torah. Don't say Hashem's name in vain. Don't lie about it. So the Rambam says, whenever there is something that was not instituted by the Chachamim, you can't just say a beracha. Hashem's name in vain. On the other hand, the Baalei Tosaf would say, no, there's about 6 different places in Shas where we find this idea of volunteering a mitzvah, and of course they said a beracha. The Ramban says that if you do something without a beracha, it's not even fun if you don't say a beracha. Of course they said a beracha. Don't tell that to the women if you tell them not to say a beracha. Okay? But Tosafot therefore holds, based on various gemarot, you should recite beracha, likro, ligmor, tahalel, beautiful. That's what we do on Rosh Chodesh. It's a machloket, Shulchan Aruch and Rama. Sfaradim Ashkenazim. That's what everybody does differently. It says in Shulchan Aruch, in Siman, Tav Chachet, in Hilchot Rosh Chodesh, Minhagi Rosh Chodesh are that we recite Halel and Shul, Chatzi Halel. Shulchan Aruch says, Yesh Omrim, there are those who say, you should recite Berachah Halel and Rosh Chodesh every month. V'yesh Omrim, there are those who say, no bracha. V'zedat HaRambam, that's what the Rambam says to do. V'chen Minhag, Eres Yisrael V'sevivoteha. I would pull it out for you like the rabbi always does, but I don't want to touch his svarim. The Shulchan Aruch says, that is the custom, listen carefully, in Eretz Yisrael, v'sivivoteha. In Eretz Yisrael and its surroundings. What environs? What does that sound like to you? There are some places outside of that radius where they do recite a beracha and halel. In fact, we know that everybody in this room who has a babajun, once upon a time, that babajun in Iran recited a beracha and halel. In Iraq, in Iran, in all of North Africa, Morocco, Algeria, Syria, Libya, maybe Syria also, I don't remember. But all these different places, they recited a beracha and halel, and they're all Sfaradi. No? Isn't that strange? All these Sfaradi, wherever they go, recited halel and Rosh Chodesh with the beracha. So it's a big debate. What should we do? Should we listen to the Shulchan Aruch, now that we've been taught what the Shulchan Aruch says, or should we keep what we did? And there is lots to talk about in this debate. Rav Ovadia is a very big Shulchan Aruch and only Shulchan Aruch guy, especially if you live in Eretz Yisrael, so then let go of your customs. You came here, Shulchan Aruch is king here, he's the rabbi here, you have to follow what he says. If you live outside of Eretz Yisrael, it's a different discussion. If you have a community where you do that, then the community has its minhagim, you follow the minhagim of the community. Whereas there are rabbis who say, even in Eretz Yisrael, if you have a community of Moroccans, community of Persians, you follow, because you came here as a community, you stay as a community. You just transported your custom from before. Oh, it's against the Shulchan Aruch? The Shulchan Aruch tells you in his Hakdama, in his introduction, that I'm not here to get rid of what already is here. If you have a pre-existing custom, a custom that came before me, I'm not telling you to get rid of it. But going forward, if you don't have a custom, let me tell you what to do. So even he might agree that it's okay for a Sfaradi to recite a Berachah and Halel and Rosh Chodesh, fine. Amongst the Persians in New York, I don't know about Brooklyn, but in Long Island, only one minyan I know of says the Berachah, Rabbi Kohanim's minyan in the Meshadi Shul. But all the other Meshadi minyanim and all the other Persian minyanim, they don't recite a Berachah and Halel and Rosh Chodesh. Moroccans do, but you have to check. What do they do in Brooklyn? What do they do in Baltimore? In LA? Have to go survey. Shukar Mikayadin to Irun. Berachah Migoftin. Okay, Mr. Neiman says they used to do it. Fine. This is a big debate whether you should answer amen or not. Tomorrow morning, don't look at my lips when I'm trying. When
you can't see him anyway.
So. Exactly. Good. So don't look at my lips tomorrow for you because it might be an amen levatala. Okay. Rabbi Cohen in Great Neck once told me a cheap way to get out of it. Right as they're beginning the beracha, say the pasuk Baruch Adonai Leolam, amen v'amen. And that way, if you time it right, there's no problem. You said a pasuk. Fine. Good. This is a halachic debate. We're not going to resolve it today. Everybody has his customs, and now we know a little bit better about where they come. But that doesn't matter.
What's wrong with saying the
Berachah? Berachah, it's not supposed to be said. One more time?
Why they don't want to say it? What's wrong that they don't say it?
If there's no mitzvah to do it, Chachamim never instituted for you to say Hashem's name on this. Plus, it's lying to say that Vitzivanu, that Hashem told us, or at least the Chachamim told us to do this. It's incorrect. And that would be saying Hashem's name in vain. When it comes to saying a beracha, the world trembles if you say Hashem's name in vain. That's why in Beit Din, we don't require anyone to take an oath anymore. Because we're so afraid that people will take an oath with Hashem's name in vain, the world trembles. We're not interested in these things. So
we don't say full halal, we say half halal. So half is, don't say bro. Sidur Kliyar says we don't say
bro. But there are plenty of Sidurim that did. There are plenty of, today they don't. You'd be surprised how much of history is in the hands of the printers. The printers control a lot of the things because they just tell you what to do and you don't question it. There's a lot to talk about. But now that we know a little bit better about what the parameters are, what the different customs are, we still don't understand why are we reciting Halel and Rosh Chodesh? what is it, someone's anniversary or something on Rosh Chodesh? Maybe, okay. But if for everybody else in the room, my anniversary is tomorrow night, second day of Rosh Chodesh, but everybody else has no reason to be saying Hallel. Thank you. Baruch Hashem. So,
I remember you were.
You were there? Yeah. Okay, good. Baruch Hashem. I was there too.
You invited me. I didn't crash.
Baruch Hashem. So anyway, so I'll tell you a beautiful idea as I was preparing earlier this afternoon from Rav Chaim David Halevi. Rav Chaim David Halevi was the chief rabbi of Tel Aviv. He wasn't just a rabbi. Some rabbis, Rav Avadia, Rav Etzion Abishol, they were only rabbis. They only knew how to learn and to tell you what it says in all the books encyclopedically with tremendous depth. Rav Chaim David Halevi was their friend. He was their classmate. But he was a thinker. He knew how to think. He knew how to talk to people. He knew how to philosophize grand ideas of Zionism, of having a nation, having a state of Eretz Yisrael. It was an amazing, amazing thinker. I can't do justice in the 3 seconds I have left or overtime already. It was all awesome, needless to say. Rav Chaim David Halevi has a beautiful idea. What happens on Rosh Chodesh? What happens every year, every month, the beginning of the month? It's a new moon. We haven't seen the moon in so long. And when we last saw it, it wasn't looking so good. It was very small. It's been waning for 2 weeks. It's not the moon, it used to be. The galut that we're in, the nimshal, the galut that we're in, it's not such a good, things aren't looking so good. We might lose hope. We might feel down and depressed. When will this end? And then suddenly, after the darkest point of the month, when there is no moon, a sliver just appears in the sky. A little shiny sliver. And gives us hope that the Geula is coming. Hashem is out there looking for us. And it's going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. And for that beginning of the Geula, we recite Hallel. The people in Babel weren't a bunch of, you know,
Philistines
who had no idea what was going on. They were living in Galut. They didn't live in Eretz Yisrael. They didn't live in the yeshivas. They didn't have Torah. They were people who had to totally rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and all they had to do was daven to Him. Organically, they said, when the new moon comes, Hashem, we want to come out of this galut. We daven tomorrow morning. Rosh Chodesh Hazeh Yesof Vakeitz Lechol Saroteinu. It should be the end of all of our sarot. Tichila HaRosh Tefidyon Nafshenu. We pray every Rosh Chodesh during the Alev Yavo for the Geula to come. So it only makes sense. We're praying for Geula now. On Rosh Chodesh, at a time when there's already a hint of Geula coming in the sky.
The purpose of Hallel on Rosh Chodesh is to usher in the Geula and to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu for it. And tomorrow morning when we say those words, we should have all the Kavanah we can. Thank Hashem for all the Berachot we have, that we're all still here. And where we're going, Bezat Hashem, as this Geula gets greater and greater. Chodesh Tov.